Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Can you love two people at the same time? Widows and widowers often find themselves in a very unpredictable love triangle. They are finally ready to move forward with a new partner in their lives, but they know deep down in their hearts that they still love the person they lost. Often, people keep these feelings to themselves because they want to live a full life with a new companion. However, they cannot deny the emotions they are feeling. They usually choose to suppress it. Susan Warner is going to explore this topic in today's podcast. Susan, do most widows and widowers experience the love triangle dilemma?
You know what, Lois? I've thought a lot about this recently, and it's a really interesting topic because I'm not sure that people realize it until they're deep in it or they don't realize it at all. I think that widows who date widowers, widowers who date widows, and not people who are divorced or single, have a greater comfortability talking about their deceased spouse. With that, if the people are all tolerant, which I find that they usually are, it does come up. Either it's from an understanding and it's implied, or it actually comes up in conversation, less, more rare. But I think that some people who date widows and widowers do realize that there could be another love in their relationship.
I think what you just said is super important. And does that apply to widows and widowers who date people that haven't lost a spouse? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how does that differ from who the person is that you're dating?
You know, I remember having a conversation with a woman who was divorced many, many years ago. We were two couples going out. And the impression I got from her conversation was that there was still some sort of love that she carried for her ex-husband. And I think that if at the time her ex-husband ever said, come back to me, she might have. So I think that it's different. It's different carrying a love with you that is not capable of being fulfilled and is not physically there from the love a divorced person can have in something that is never finished. There's no closure maybe to it. So yes, I think that people who are divorced can still have this love triangle, but it's different because with the widowed situation, you can never go back. So the threat to the person that you're loving, the person that they love isn't there and they can't be had. So it could exist, but it exists very differently.
Okay, but my question to you, is it different if you are dating, if you're a widow or a widower, and you're dating a single person that, you know,
is divorced
or was never married? Is it different than dating a widow and a widower with your love for your, you know, deceased spouse?
Yeah. I think the answer is probably yes. I think you're less forthcoming if you are dating someone who's divorced or single because they don't understand. And when you are two people in a similar scenario, you've both lost your spouse, there's a greater respect and understanding.
Wow.
So I think the answer to that is yes. I think you are more likely to suppress those feelings and certainly not to be as verbal about them because the understanding is not the same. So yes, I think it is different.
So my next question was going to be, are there different types of love? But before you answer that, I just want you to answer Do you really think that there's, in widows and widowers, there is a love triangle dilemma?
In some people, nothing's absolute. So everybody doesn't feel that way. But I think that there are people that do. I think that it's something that can be discussed because I think enough people feel that way that it should be something brought out into the open. Because I think until you bring it out into the open, you think that you're doing something wrong or that you're having feelings that are illegitimate or wrong. And then once you bring it up and out, you can understand that it's okay. And obviously that's where I'm going with this.
Right.
So if you ask me next, are there different types of love? Of course there are. You feel differently about a person that wasn't the father of your children or the mother of your children. You feel differently about a person where your relationship is more carefree and based on fun and excitement and not financial and not family tied. You don't have those pressures and those joys. So yes, you can love your friends on different levels. You can love, you know, nieces and nephews and sisters-in-law and brothers-in-law on different levels. Every love, I think, can be had on a different level. And I think a lot of it depends on the extemporaneous circumstances. So do you love different people because of their personalities, because of their capability of loving, because of their output, input? Yes. So I think that you can love on many different levels, many different types of people in your life. So certainly companions can be loved on different levels, I think.
Well, then the next question is absolutely perfect timing. Doesn't everyone want to be the love of their partner's life?
Yes.
And?
Doesn't everyone want to live a perfect life in a perfect relationship with perfect children and perfect families and perfect friendships? Of course, that's everybody's fantasy desire. And, you know, there's always, I can be the second love of your life. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, you're not competing with someone who's physically there. So I think that love grows and develops, and you need to give it time and understanding, because yes, everyone does want to be the love of everybody else's life. They do, but circumstances are different, and
right.
Life is different, and walls are different, and protections are different, and emotional guard is different. And as you age through this process, your needs and desires are different. You know, possibly grandchildren enter the scene and they become, a vessel of your love. And your children's relationships change and you accept daughters-in-law and sons-in-laws and they become a vessel of your love. And maybe this new person gets to share in that your deceased spouse doesn't.
Right.
So maybe that makes it grow too as you experience things in life together. So I think it all grows. I think that there's a growth in all of this, but everybody needs to be patient and understanding and kind and let it happen naturally and organically and not force issues, but allow the love to take root and then grow and then bud and then have flowers. But that's a continuum of time, and that's what this is about.
So do couples talk about this, or how is this handled?
I don't think most people speak about it, and that's why I'm happy we're talking about it today. I think most people suppress it and maybe feel it and push it aside because that's wrong. I shouldn't feel that way. And I think where that comes from is, am I in love with my deceased spouse, or do I love them? Because those are very different emotions. It was explained to me by a really smart psychologist that being in love with someone is wonderful and exciting and giddy and a bit immature in that it's the flutter in your stomach and the excitement, but loving someone is much more whole and much more holistic and much broader. So don't confuse being in love with loving. So do you love your deceased spouse? Yes. Are you in love with them, which I thought was actually a real reality? Probably not, because unfortunately they can't give you butterflies anymore, and they can't touch you and kiss your cheek, and you can't watch them walk down the street and feel that feeling. So it's a broader, deeper love that you have for them that you can then open up yourself to love someone else too, and be in love with somebody else. But I don't think men talk about it much. I think it's probably a little bit more of a female emotion, and I don't think a lot of people talk about it. I think they feel it and push it down.
Is it such a threat to the new love relationship, this whole topic that we're talking about? How do you think most people feel about it?
It's more of a threat if one person realizes it and talks about it, or realizes it and tries to deal with it. I think the threat comes from realization, and I think that a lot of people don't bring it to the surface. They harbor it, and they feel it, and it hurts sometimes, and there's guilt wrapped around it, which we discussed in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sometimes where guilt comes from, is not bringing up the emotion that it's okay to still love your deceased spouse. It's okay. Just manage it like everything else in life. You know, if you have more than one child, can you not love them all? Love is not finite. It's infinite. So you can find tunnels to love everyone in the need that they have to be loved. Some people more than others. Some people are more verbal about it. Some people are more demonstrative about it. That you need to work out. You worked it out in your first relationship. You work it out in your second relationship, or third or fourth. But the capacity to love more than one person is there. As I said, you love more than one child. You can love more than one pet. You love more than one friend. You are capable when the love is for a person that's no longer physically here.
Well, there are situations when people are in relationships, and especially if they're a widow or a widower, where one person did something for somebody and the other person doesn't. Yet they love both of them, but they could be bringing up, well, you know, my deceased wife made me breakfast every morning, and you want to go out for breakfast. I want you to make me breakfast. You know,
well, that's the expectation of relationships, though. And this is something we discussed. If you're looking to replicate what you had, then you're in one category. If you're looking for something new and a change and something different, which I think is healthier, then you're in another category. But that has nothing to do with loving two people at the same time. That's wanting to replicate what you had versus newness. Mm-hmm. Some people go into relationships to totally replicate their marriages, and good for them. I, for one, think that you shouldn't. For me, I shouldn't replicate what I had. So that's a whole different animal, and I don't think can be addressed in loving two people. That's wanting to do the same thing again, and that's someone's choice or not choice. But I don't think that has to do with loving two people. That's how you want your relationship to be and progress, and what you want out of it. That's not loving someone who is no longer with you.
So how long can these kind of feelings last?
I wish I could tell you that. You know, I'm a college counselor, and when someone says, you know, is my student going to get in? I don't have that crystal ball. Don't have this crystal ball. I don't know that. They could be forever, I guess. They could dissipate. Time could heal. You know, I have the statement that someone taught me that pain and grief doesn't get less, just the time between the pain gets greater. Maybe it's the same thing here. Maybe the guilt subsides, or the feelings are there. They're always there. Just you don't think about it as much. It doesn't come up as much. But I think life's events force them to the top. Anniversaries of deaths, marriages, birthdays, weddings, births of children. I think that brings the emotion to the top, because you would normally share it with your spouse that you lost because you had a long history with them. But again, as you make new history with the new person, it probably becomes easier. So new milestones, new sharing probably solidifies relationships. So I don't know how long it lasts. I can't tell you that until the game's over, and I hope that's not for a long time.
Right.
So don't have a crystal ball on that one.
So can you fake it till you make it? So in other words, can you know that this is going on, but show the other partner that, you know, they are well-meaning to you, that you know, they may be the only one, you know, present, that they are special, that you're committed. You know, how does somebody not carry this torch with them while they're in another relationship?
Okay, so I think that's a really great question, but it's not faking it. There lies the problem, and the operative word there is, it's not being faked. I think what happens is your companion in the situation needs to understand. And if you understand and they understand, and they understand that love grows and love develops and love is over shared experiences and shared emotions, and it love develops through the argument and through the laughter, and that time does heal, that age-long cliche that we never want to hear. But when I talk to people who recently lose, it's the first thing I say. You're going to punch me for this, but time is a healing point. It is. So I think that you're not faking it. You are being you. And that's, be authentic to yourself. If you feel it, show it, be in it. If you can't, get understanding to it. But as time grows, so does the emotion, or not. I mean, if it doesn't grow, then you need to reevaluate that and maybe not be in the relationship. But with life milestones and time and experience and laughter and tears and arguments, you will grow together. And this experience of loving another person will remain there. Your heart is still full with that person that you chose as your spouse for X amount of years. But the emotion may take longer periods to surface.
So even though you said that, I have been in relationships early on in my 20s when I dated someone who had an ex-spouse, and they would go on, during the relationship, and I really didn't care that much because I wasn't that deeply committed to them and I was dating other men. But I remember this one guy would constantly talk about his ex-spouse. Marsha would love this movie. Marsha would love this restaurant. Oh, this was Marsha's favorite restaurant. Oh, Marsha likes this pillow. Marsha, you know, and it went on and on and on. And I just thought, you know, I don't even know what I thought. I think I dismissed it because the guy was fun in a lot of categories, but I knew this was a weakness that I wasn't going to have to live with for very long, and I didn't care. Later on, we remained very good friends. Later on, I met Marsha, and it was a whole different situation that he portrayed from his brain, which I had a feeling. Marsha didn't like the things he said. Marsha was in a miserable relationship with him. Marsha thought he was a moron. Marsha, and it was like, oh my God, you know, you live life for the moment, and then, you know, you regret it or you're happy about it, and then you have to move on.
I think that in widow and widowhood, sometimes people fantasize what their marriage was when they were in it and don't always look at the reality. I do think that is reality. I remember one of the first dates I went on. In fact, I think it was the first date I went on. I dated a man whose wife was an actress, pretty famous actress, and he spent the entire dinner talking about her. I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. Because she was real and alive, and he could go back to her. If I dated a widow that talked about his wife the entire time, I think I would be put off too. I've never had that experience. In fact, I don't think discussions about lost spouses come up until you're more secure in your relationship. At least that's been my experience. So if you're fighting a ghost like that, you're going to lose. And if you're fighting an ex-wife or husband like that, you're going to lose. So those are places where I don't think my philosophical answers about love grows works. If someone is that hung up about a deceased spouse and that's the whole conversation, or about an ex-husband or wife or girlfriend, you're not going to win. Walk away, in my opinion. You know, they need to work that out, or they're still in love with them, and get out. That's not the experience I've had, and that's not what I'm referring to. But I understand the point.
So
that's a lose-lose.
Because you said that, it makes me understand a lot of things that are going on currently in my life. I find out that a lot of people's responses and the way they speak really is about their ego and not really about what's happening in the real world. So
ego and fantasizing what actually is occurring. Like
right.
What you saw was not what he just made this fantasy. And I think that widows and widowers do that too. They make a fantastical life and no one can refute it, you know. you're in that one alone. I think that does happen again when people become realistic and actually admit to feelings, you're in a healthier position.
So do couples break up over this?
I don't think it's talked about very much. I'll reiterate that. I think they may break up over other reasons. I don't think that most couples have the wherewithal to bring their spouses and their feelings for their spouses into their relationships. I mean, I think that's the coming to the end of the continuum of healthy. I think most people keep it to themselves and maybe manifest it in other ways.
Hmm.
So does it break it up in the obvious? Probably not. You know, it's when your argument with your husband is not really about his shoes in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a lot of other things that are bothering you. I think that's what happens with this topic. And that's why if couples can actually, or people can actually come to terms with that, they would be healthier or better off in their relationships. I think it's a bit of a taboo subject.
So
it's painful.
Yeah. Is it so? But you have to admit this is pretty natural, right? Or how do you feel?
I think if you are in a good relationship, and good is such a broad category, from good, you know, 6 to good 10, I think it's very natural. You chose this person as your life mate. You spent the vast majority of your life with them. You know, people I meet are usually married 30 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
You had your children. You went through building your careers and building your lives and your in-laws and your friends. Yeah, of course it is. How do you say, I'm turning off that love? I'm turning my brain off. When our brain is so wired to memories and triggers of memories, I think it's very normal. Very normal. How you deal with it then becomes the challenge. If you deal with it becomes the challenge. And I think that that's very normal. You know, it's like even ex-boyfriends. What people in relationships don't every once in a while bring up an ex-boyfriend, whether he was funny or wealthy or great in bed, but you have that moment that you flicker it. Imagine 38 years of it. You can't turn it off. It'd be like having amnesia. And nobody wants amnesia of your life. So it's normal. I think it's normal. It's just you need to learn to deal with it. That's all. No, that's
so
a big
having
that's
said,
all. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, having said you need to learn to deal with it, so maybe these feelings don't come up right away, but they come up at different times in the new relationship. So, I mean, it could happen 5 years down the road, you know, all of a sudden these feelings are coming up and like this, you know, you've had enough experience with the partner, but all of a sudden you start to like, you know.
I don't think so. I don't think
okay.
so. I don't think you never had the feelings and then 5 years down the road, you start realizing that, you know, you're in love or loving your deceased spouse. I think they come up early. I think that they probably get healthier as you stay in a relationship. It doesn't go the other way. I think the curve goes up, not down. I think that in early on in relationships, the first year or two, yes, they can pop up. And things trigger. There are triggers in life. And I think as time goes on, the feelings remain, but the time between the feelings gets more manageable, just like grief.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to grief. Maybe it is a piece of grief.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that you're in a relationship for 10 years, you marry this person, you're living with this person, they're your lifelong companion, and boom, you all of a sudden realize that you really love your husband or your wife. I don't think that's how it happens. I think it's a continuum of upward management of those feelings.
Well, this podcast has been very enlightening, but before you go, I really want to ask you, what recommendations can you offer those who wonder if they could ever really love again?
I'm going to offer something that I don't always say, and that is, if you're wrestling with feelings about that, go speak to somebody, speak to a professional. It was when I spoke to a professional that she said to me, I said, I think I'm in love with, and she said, you're not in love with. And having someone clarify that and help me understand how you feel about this person that you spent the majority of your life with was a much healthier way. I think they're hard feelings to sort out yourself. And a lot of feelings I believe you can sort out yourself. This one, I think that having professionals who have heard this before, who have a cadre of people that they've spoken to that have seen similarities in relationships and feelings can help you through this. So my suggestion is talk to somebody. So it's a hard one to work out by yourself.
So before we leave, explain being in love and loving someone.
As it was explained to me, being in love is, loving someone is that broad feeling of all-encompassing, caring about, and an emotional vestment, and wanting to be with. That's being in love with someone. But, or that's loving someone, I'm sorry. Being in love with someone is the butterflies in your stomach, the excitement to physically be with them, the time apart when you think about them and get excited. That's a little bit more immature. That's probably a broad term to use, because I don't mean it's immature, but it's more of a physical idea of newness and excitement, where love is broader and deeper and wider. This is like short and shallow, where love is broad and deep. So it's not like you, it's hard to think about your ex and, you know, and flutter about them, because they can't be with you. You know that. They can only be with you in your mind's eye and spiritually, of course. Where the person that, if you're in love with somebody, it's the person that makes your heart beat faster or makes you laugh, you know, or you giggle with, or, mm-hmm. you know, or argue with. You can't argue with someone who's not here. You can, you know, chuckle maybe once in a while when I think of my husband on my shoulder and something happens. Mm-hmm. But it's that difference between the physical excitement to the broad depth of feeling.
With that, thank you very, very much. I hope one of our future podcasts, if not the next one, would be about the second love and mm-hmm. you know, the expectations and what that's all about. Because you mentioned it a few times during this podcast, and to me, there's a great mystery that everybody could learn from you. So let's explore that. Okay, thank you.